Let's Talk. I pray you're having a good week and that all is well with you. Let's jump back into the book of Job and listen for what we can learn from God about Job's suffering and the example that Job sets for us. At this point, we have learned that Job is a righteous man, in that he loves God and he turns away from evil, that he had 10 children and lots of possessions. And he learned one after another of those things that were taken away from him. All of his children, all of his possessions. And when that happened, Job got up and he tore his clothes in grief and he said in verse 21 in chapter 1, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." We have also learned that Satan roams the earth. You may be thinking that our world hangs in an uncertain balance between forces of good and evil. That feels so true in our world today, but the Bible teaches us that God's victory is certain because Satan is a defeated enemy. Remember, Satan must receive permission to carry out his destructive plans throughout history as he continues to roam the earth searching for his next victim. But remember, God sets the boundaries, period. As we think of human suffering, this point is crucial to remember that God sets the boundaries. The book of Job is helping us to understand human suffering. Like Job, we only see what's happening on earth. But God is going to show us through the life of Job what's happening in heaven. Praise the Lord. Have you ever thought that God may be accomplishing his own purposes through our suffering? I dare say most of the time this reality doesn't cross our mind when we are in the midst of suffering. Now let's work our way through some of the verses in chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 3 together. "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason.'" So that was another conversation between God and Satan about Job's integrity. And God is telling Satan, you know, "I'm giving you permission to do this much with Job, but there's limits." So let's go ahead and read verses 4 through 6. And it says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life.'" In these verses, skin for skin reflects Satan's view that Job's body has not yet been touched by suffering. Satan thought that he could change Job's mind and make him curse God by making him suffer in bodily pain. The Lord gave Satan permission to do with Job whatever he would, but Satan did not have permission to take Job's life. So the Lord gave him permission to make Job suffer, but he did not give him permission to take his life. Let's read verses 7 through 8 now. "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes." I don't know about you, but to me, this this portrays and makes me see a picture of a gruesome, hopeless Job sitting in ashes, scraping sores off of his body with a piece of broken pottery. Can you imagine the pain and the suffering and the humility? The questions that must have been swirling in his head during that time. I can't imagine. Let's read verses 9 through 10. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So thinking about Job's wife for a minute, she had to be frustrated with all of this. And she was mourning too. She had lost her children. She had lost her possessions. She was watching her husband suffer to the point where she could not understand why he was holding on to his integrity. She also watched her husband continue to trust the Lord and praise him through it all. She sees him worship God through all of this. But how did she respond? She tells her husband to curse God and die. She thinks it's better that he would just curse God and die rather than suffer. And Job's response to her was, "Honey, you aren't thinking straight. You are speaking as of one of the foolish, unbelieving women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" Job resisted sinful words against God and stated his willingness to endure suffering when it was God's will for him. Do we ever consider suffering as God's will for us? Verses 11 through 13. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil had come upon him, they came each from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. They made an appointment together to come to show him sympathy and comfort him. And when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. And they raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. Have you ever thought how your suffering affects your friends and your family? What if God is using your suffering and your faith in Him to reach and teach others? Is it worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely.